Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So I've been here at St. Mary's for about a year now, and I would like, if you'll indulge me, to just test how well you know me and how, well, what you think of me, really. I have, it's potentially a dangerous start to any sermon, really. I've realised, on discussion with my wife and my friends, a couple of strange habits and laws that I have kind of created. I just want to see if anyone here connects with this particular one, which is a favourite law and rule of mine. When I'm having a cooked breakfast, when I'm having a breakfast with sausages, bacon, mushrooms, tomatoes, fried egg, hash browns, black pudding. Let's just take a moment. When I'm having a breakfast with all of those things on my one gloriously filled plate, I have a little rule that I have to obey. And that rule is that at some stage during that breakfast, I have to eat at least one forkful containing a little bit of everything that's on the plate. I call this the ultimate forkful rule. Does anyone else here have any kind of similarity or connection with that rule? Because none of my friends and family do. Actually, there are a couple of people. Thank you. That is great. My friends and family think that I'm mad for a variety of other reasons. You probably will draw your own conclusions on. Now, I say this not because I just wanted to make you feel really hungry this morning, although I now will confess that I'm slightly hungry myself, having just described sausages and bacon. The reason that we started, because our reading this morning is about rules and about food. Now, as we read those two readings together, we got the one from Deuteronomy, all about the rules that God gave the people of Israel through Moses. So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I'm teaching you to observe. Listen to these rules. And then, further forward, we fast forward, you know, a thousand and a half years later to Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees. And it seems that we've got a bit of a contradiction, actually, when we read these two readings side by side. Because the first reading, if I may paraphrase slightly, basically says, don't change any of these rules. Obey them. Make sure that you're really following these rules. But Jesus said to the Pharisees, you are not really following God's laws. See, the Pharisees had criticized Jesus and his disciples. Because Jesus' disciples had, it seemed, brought some food in the marketplace and eaten it without washing ritually. Now, the Pharisees had a very complicated set of rules about ritual cleanliness. Their rules were based around the idea that if you touched or were involved in any way, came into connection with something that was unclean, that you became unclean. And because you couldn't be sure sort of what you touched during the day, if you ate something and you hadn't properly cleansed and ritually cleansed your hands, you might have been causing the food to become unclean. And so by eating it, you take it inside, and then you become ritually unclean. That was kind of the premise of this rule, which they were bringing up to Jesus. And Jesus seems to be saying to the Pharisees, you guys have got it wrong. They're saying you're not following the rules correctly. You and your disciples. But Jesus is saying to them, actually, you're the ones who've abandoned God's commandments, and you're now just following human tradition. So, is Jesus taking away from the rules like it warns us in Deuteronomy? No, he's not. He's pointing back to God's law. He's reminding the Pharisees of the point of those laws, the heart of what it's all about. Because the very point of those laws in the first place, the very point of the people of Israel, was that they were going to show to the people around them, to all the other nations, to the rest of the world, they were going to show them a different way. They were going to show them God's way. They were going to show them a life that was radically different from all the other nations of the world. A world, a way of living which was righteous, life-giving, affirming, positive. A way that drew people to God, not simply about doing and keeping God happy. And that's what Jesus was calling the Pharisees to. You see, it's not. None of these laws, none of the rules are about trying to keep God from getting angry at us. Sometimes when you read rules, it just seems like you've got to do them because otherwise someone will get cross. But the whole point of the law that God gave the people of Israel was that it was a way of being different. It's not to try and keep God happy. It's not to try and placate some angry deity. These laws were to show a way of living that is better. A way of living that is truly fulfilling, that is liberating, that sets people free. And the Pharisees had got so absorbed by the outward aspects of these laws, so focused on what to do and what not to do, that they'd forgotten that the very heart of their calling of the people of Israel was to show the world what God was like. And so Jesus was pointing back at the commandments and saying, it's not what goes into you that makes you unclean. It's what comes out of you. It's your heart that shows what you're like. It doesn't matter if the roll you eat from the market is unclean. God's way is the important thing. Now, it is, of course, actually easier to follow the laws blindly, to not have to think about things, just to simply have a list of black and white do's and don'ts, just to do these things or not to do these things. That would make life so much easier. You never have to think. You can just simply, oh, I've got to wash my hands at this stage, or I turn right at this stage, or I turn left at this stage, and you never have to engage. Because God was doing something so much bigger, that's not what these rules were about. Can you imagine if God was literally trying to set down every possible do and don't for the whole of humanity that ever existed? Our readings would go on for days in church. If it included all the lists of things to do when you're driving, our ancestors would have had no idea about all the rules for motorway driving. They would have had no idea about half of the foodstuffs that we eat. They would have had no idea about this internet thing and how you work on so much that we do as a daily thing. It's not written out neatly for us in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, because that's not what God was trying to do. God wasn't giving us a simple list of do's and don'ts that you simply have to obey and that's easy. He was giving us a way of being that is different, that is affirming and life-fulfilling, because that is the heart of the gospel. All of us have been separated from God by what we call sin, by what we've said, by what we've done, by what we've thought, by what we've desired in our hearts. All of us have been separated from God. There's no one who is without sin, not even one, it says in the Bible. And for all of our righteous obedience of following all the rules and regulations, no matter how good you are at that, you still can't bridge that gap by your own efforts. It's just not possible. But God's way is and always has been to offer mercy, reconciliation, restoration, a way of coming back to Him. And that's what the people of Israel were about. They were chosen by God, not a capricious group of people chosen at random just because they were His favorites, but they were chosen for a specific thing, to show the world what God was like, to be a light to the rest of the world, it says in Isaiah. But they messed up. They couldn't do it. They got focused in on the outward stuff. It seems that no one can make it by their own efforts. So God sent Jesus, His own Son, fully man and fully God, the only perfect person who has ever lived. The only person who has not been separated from God by sin. And the one who absorbed into Himself all of the sin, all of the separation of the world as He died on the cross, therefore reconciling us to our loving Heavenly Father if we choose to return to Him. By dying, He took away our sin. And by rising to new life, He restores new life. He gives us a fresh start, reconciliation restored, no longer separated from God by what we say or do, a new beginning. In Jesus, all of this is made possible. In Jesus, this is our gospel, our good news, that we're not separated from God, that we're restored. These outward rules, they might be good and healthy. Jesus didn't criticize the Pharisees for obeying the laws. He just said, you've missed the point. And so that's our challenge as well. Rules. How do we obey the laws? Do we simply obey them and, you know, we go as far as and that's it? While you're driving, perhaps, are you happy in the fact that you drive at 30 in a 30 zone and 70 in a 70 zone and you stop fully at a give way sign and that's all good? Or do you take this new restored life, this life that you're called to show the world what God is like, and actually drive generously, allowing other people to merge into your lane, allowing people out in front of you, driving in a way that takes account of other people? I mean, that's just one example of rules and the fact that we're called to something bigger. You and me are called here and now to live a life that shows the world what God is like. It's not what goes into you that makes a difference, but what comes out of you. And you are born again if you ask Jesus. You are restored to new life. So, this week, this month, this year, this lifetime, may we go out and be the kind of people that live lives that point to God. May we live lives that are generous and open and affirming, full of mercy and love. And may we know that same forgiveness in God, that we are people called and reconciled. We can't keep all the laws, but God still loves us and forgives us. And may we all know that this week. Amen.